From the book of Acts, and we're talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let's see, where's Dave? Dave Everett, there he is, right there. Dave's going to read the scripture for us today. David?
We're reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesse, Jesus, and his brothers.
Thank you, David. Do we have any good role models today in life that we could say to our kids, our teens, or even our own selves, boy, there's a role model. There's somebody I really want to pattern my life after. Have there been very many in history? Who would you suggest has been a good role model? I was thinking about maybe Madonna. I'm watching who's chuckling. Because you're thinking about the aging pop singer, right? No, I'm not. I tricked you. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Madonna? What kind of woman was Mary? She had a very important place at Christmas, right? A very important place at Christmas. So when you think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, I'm not sure what images come to your mind. It could be incorrect ones. We need a biblical image, because anything less than a biblical image of Mary, in the minute we begin to talk about Mary, and I've chosen to do that today, we could be led into some kind of fantasy world or into air or maybe even some Mary cult. So those are dangers. Acts 1, verse 14 is a very good place to see the real Mary. So I want you to listen. If you listen carefully as the passage was being read, and I'm going to just kind of paraphrase some of that a little bit. Speaks about Mary, Jesus' brothers, and the whole movement of the Jesus followers. They were assembled in this upper room. Did you catch what I just shared? Mary and Jesus' brothers? Whoa. Jesus had brothers. We're going to have a biblical image. We better do it right, right? We better go to what the Bible says and not something we're trying to read into it. Acts chapters 1 and 2 give us some very keen insight into Mary's life, who can serve as a fantastic role model. I'm not talking about Mary cult. I'm not talking about fantasy world. I'm talking about a good role model for not only women and mothers, but for men, fathers, and teens, young girls, young guys, and our families. She has some fantastic qualities. We're going to look at those from Acts chapters 1 and 2. I want to share several of those qualities from these passages this morning, and I think once you really come to grips with them and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, they can be applied in your life because they're awesome role model qualities that can radically change our lives. They're life-changing. They're God-pleasing qualities. So what do we find here in Acts about this woman that's Mary, the mother of Jesus? And if you go into the back, you know, the deaconesses a few weeks ago set up the little nativity set, and there's a ceramic Mary in there. And I was looking at it. You know, it's a nice little figure. I can't help but I get a little disturbed when I look at certain nativity sets and paintings where they've got a halo around Mary and they got a halo around Jesus. I'll be honest, that bothers me. But I know, I understand that's an artistic way of saying this is Mary and this is Jesus, you know. Like, who else is going to be laying in his bed of straw but it's Jesus. So what can we learn from this woman, the mother, the biological mother of Jesus? Well, here's several qualities that are life-changing qualities. And the first thing that I find in the book of Acts, as we come through this passage together, that she was an obedient to Jesus woman. She was an obedient to Jesus woman. Verse 4. Listen to Jesus' words. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. He's talking about this prophecy in the Old Testament book of Joel, the promise coming of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all, and your young men would have visions and dreams and so forth. And he says to all those followers, he said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem, because the promise of the Holy Spirit is coming. And I think sometimes we forget that one of those followers was Mary. She was part of that group. And so she's going to demonstrate to us that she's going to be a woman, yes, biological mother of Jesus, but she was going to be a woman that was going to obey. She was going to obey Jesus. Mary was obedient to the lordship of Jesus Christ. If she hadn't been obedient to Jesus here, she would have missed Pentecost. She could have said, yeah, that's my son. I brought him into the world. And now here he is at this age, and he died, and he told us to stay in Jerusalem. She could say, well, okay, you guys, I'm not going to go there. But she learned to be obedient to Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And she didn't miss Pentecost, and we're going to talk about that in a little more depth in a moment. Now, come to grips with this. Mary knew that Jesus, her physical, biological son, was God incarnate. She knew that. He was the living Lord. He was the King of Kings. He was the long-awaited Messiah. She had given birth to him. If anyone would know, she would know. She knew how she got pregnant. No doubt. She knew, no matter how much even Joseph doubted at the beginning, and everybody else could have doubted, she knew that that baby that she was going to bring into this world was very special. And of course, there were doubts, but the angels revealed to her, and most of us know that Christmas story. He would be the Savior of the world. He was Emmanuel. He was the Christos, the Messiah, the King. Long-awaited King. And so now here, the crucifixion has taken place. And Jesus says to his followers, Mary included, wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And she was obedient. And to serve as a role model for us today, the most foundational aspect that we can in building our lives and our lives as fathers, mothers, men, women, teens, young adults, we start with obedience to Jesus. That's where it all begins. And Mary is the one that serves as an excellent role model for us in this life. Another life-changing quality that we see in her, this role model quality, this God-pleasing quality, is that she was a witness for Jesus woman. A witness for Jesus woman. Acts 1:8, we know it so well. We've read it. We quote it. I've preached on it. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and goes on to the ends of the earth. The book of Acts, from chapter 1 through chapter 28, is an unfolding of all of this. And if you want to look at a table of content kind of thing for the book of Acts, it is that the church becomes witnesses of Jesus, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then you flow into, there is what's in chapter 29, by the way. Trick question. There is no chapter 29. We are chapter 29. See, there is no conclusion to Acts. I've mentioned this before in different venues, and if we were to ever change our name, one name that I would consider would be the Acts 29 church, because the church is always ongoing and it never ends. But the point here is that Mary was given that great commission command to be a witness to the ends of the earth, beginning in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and so forth. Mary was right there in the thick of the life of the church of being a witness for Jesus. And if we were to put it in more contemporary terms, Mary was a great commissioned Christian. Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples. Acts 1, with Mary there in the upper room and listening to the words of Jesus, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Matthew 28, the great commission passage, where Jesus commissions his followers. They're connected. And Mary is part of that, that she hears Jesus' words and she's going to be a witness for Jesus woman. Like Mary. Oh, do we need mothers and fathers and women and men and young people who will be great commission Christians? I'm not talking about Billy Graham's. I'm not talking about necessarily going knocking on doors door to door. Even though if that's what God's called you to do, you better do it. Years ago when I was a pastor in Connecticut and we started out with just a couple of people, and that was, you know, in the early 70s, God told me to go and knock on doors. That's kind of strange, you know. And you just walk up and knock on somebody's door and you say, hey, my name is, and I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. You never know what you're going to face. I remember doing that in Maryland when we had moved to Salisbury, Maryland years ago. And again, starting a new church with just my wife Connie and our family. And God said, I want you to go in this whole neighborhood where you live, and I want you to knock on doors, and I want you to begin to talk to people about me. Well, I knocked on a door, and a woman opened the door, and there she was in baby doll pajamas. And she invited me in, and I said, no. I said, I better not go in. So I'm not necessarily telling you to go door to door or to be the next Billy Graham. But what about intentional relationships with unchurched people or people that don't know Jesus Christ? That you begin to build those kinds of relationships that you can begin to introduce people to Jesus as Mary. And here, isn't it amazing that here we are almost 2,000 years down the road and I'm standing in front of you and we're talking about Mary. It's amazing. Lost people matter to God, and he wants them found. Mary serves as a great role model that she, in her life in the body of Christ, was in the thick of the dynamic activity of reaching the world for Jesus. Yes, her biological son, but the King of Kings. A third quality that I want to share from Mary's life, and it's almost like, yeah, I could have guessed this one, is that she was a praying to Jesus woman. A praying to Jesus woman. Verse 14 of Acts 1. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Nice, huh? All these people, 120 or so in that upper room, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Here's where it gets a little bit, should I say, dicey, sensitive. We'll see where you are. Mary was not praying to Mary. Mary was praying to Jesus. She was in the upper room, and they were constantly in prayer, and she was praying to Jesus. Actually, I think she would be aghast today if she knew that people actually prayed to her. See, Mary died. Mary died. And I'm not here to slam or to just be negative about anybody, but we have to deal with the facts. We have to deal with the biblical truth. Mary died, and her bones are in some tomb somewhere. And she is not a mediator between us and Jesus or us and God. She is not. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. But I've got to be sensitive here. I'm not trying to be negative, but we're looking at Mary as a role model. And she was a praying to Jesus woman. And she would sit back today, if she walked in here, if she was alive, and she came to address us, she would say, "Don't pray to me. Pray to Jesus. He's the mediator. He's the one that died for us." And what a role model that is, because there we find her in that upper room with the church, the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. There's Mary in the thick of everything, in the thick of the life of the church, demonstrating the importance of prayer, praying to the Father, praying to Jesus, praying certainly individually, and praying corporately as a group. I've shared numerous times over the years, and some of you, I hope you don't get tired of me saying it, and that is that my mother is a praying woman. My great-grandfather was a praying woman, praying man. My great-grandfather prayed for me before I was born, and he died before I ever met him. He prayed for his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. My mother is a praying woman. It's like she received that mantle. And it's almost like, and I share this lovingly and humbly, it's almost like I've received that mantle, because my days, you know, and I pray for my children and their spouses and my grandchildren and the married grandchildren that have spouses, and now my great-grandchildren. It's like I have to do it. I have to do it. But I am so thankful for, yes, a praying mother that prayed for me. And even today, she prays. And I'll call her, and even though I have a hard time communicating to her because her hearing is gone, and she'll ask, and she'll know, like, my granddaughter in Maryland's expecting their second child, and she'll go, "How's Aaron doing?" She says that she's praying for her. Mary was a praying woman. She prayed to Jesus. It was part of her life, just the way she was. She was part of that group. She was part of the church. She understood what prayer, certainly praise and worship and all that that was involved in that early church. She was in the middle of that. That's where she was. And Mary serves as a fantastic role model in that area of life. One more quality that I want to share from her life, and this could be the most important one, and that is that Mary was a spirit-filled woman. A spirit-filled woman for Jesus. We have to turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them, and I quote from that verse, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit as the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after the death of Jesus on the cross. And here they were assembled in obedience to Jesus, praying together. And now the Holy Spirit falls, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, Mary included. Mary was a spirit-filled follower of Jesus. See, Mary was quite human. Let me walk carefully here. She was not born without sin. She was not, there's no such thing biblically as an immaculate conception for her or her mother or her mother's mother. Because once you go down that path, you have to keep going back. I mean, how many generations do you go back? So Mary was born in sin. And she had to be saved. She had to be born again. She had to have the Holy Spirit come down and empower her. And so on the day of Pentecost, there she was with all of them assembled in obedience to Jesus, praying to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit falls and she becomes a Spirit-filled woman. A Spirit-filled woman. To experience all those supernatural manifestations on that day of Pentecost, to experience His power and His presence, the very presence of Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit, she experienced that. And to be Spirit-filled, as Paul the Apostle writes in the book of Acts, be not drunk with wine, but be so intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. So intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. It's like, I mean, they're drunk because the Holy Spirit is so saturated them that we've surrendered everything to Jesus so the Holy Spirit can work freely in our lives. There are no idols. There are no idolatrous things. And like Mary, Jesus wants each of us to be filled with His Holy Spirit. And yes, that means you. That means you. It is a quite supernatural experience. It is very supernatural. It is not just, okay, I had coffee for breakfast. Big deal. I was Spirit-filled. No. This is like a presence and the power of God coming down and saturating and intoxicating you. Like, I keep nothing back, Jesus. I yield it all to You. That's what happened to Mary on the day of Pentecost. She was with those when the Holy Spirit fell. The very power that God wants us to have for living the Christian life. The power to experience the various gifts of the Holy Spirit for ministry. The power to transform us, to deal with our sinful nature and our rebellious nature and begin to transform us into Christ-like lives. The key to all of that is the Holy Spirit. And Mary experienced that. The Holy Spirit, third person of the triune God, touched and filled Mary. And she experienced that power and she experienced those manifestations that you see here in the book of Acts in chapter 2. She experienced that. We're not just talking about some doctrinal, some theological thing. It was something that she experienced in her life. Are you Spirit-filled? Are you Spirit-filled? Are there any idols in your life that you're saying, Jesus, I want You, but I don't want to let go of this? Are you experiencing that power to live the kind of life that Jesus wants you to live for Him, to witness for Him? That ability to pray and to praise and to communicate with the Heavenly Father and talk to Him as Abba, Daddy, Father? It's the Holy Spirit that makes that real. Are you experiencing the gifts of the Holy Spirit for ministry that you don't have to just sit back and say, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm going to heaven and wonderful. I have eternal life. And thank You, Jesus, I'm forgiven. But the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit like Mary, the gifts of the Holy Spirit come into your life and you experience them to do what He's called you to do and be the kind of person that He wants you to be. Mary is an excellent role model for that. She surrendered all to Jesus. This Christmas, when you look at nativity sets or You look at paintings or pictures or the Christmas cards come, and there's Mary. And I know, I shade out the halo stuff. No, I don't. But look beyond the halo. Look at a woman. Look at a real woman that serves as a fantastic role model because she was obedient to Jesus. She became a witness for Jesus. She was a praying to Jesus woman, and she was a spirit-filled woman. So when you see her on those cards and those nativity sets, or even when we sing songs that mention Mary, and I think, I know somebody's going to sing it next Sunday night. I think it's Jeff Mason singing, "Mary, Did You Know?" You know, it's a great song. We have a great role model. And I trust that we can follow her and learn from her. Let's stand and we'll pray together. Let's take a moment to just talk to the Lord silently. However the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, whatever needs to be dealt with in your life, give it to Him. If there's an idol that has to be broken or surrendered, if you've never said, "Holy Spirit, fill me, take charge of everything, intoxicate me," just yield your life to Him. Heavenly Father, Abba, we thank you for this woman, Mary, that serves as a model for us. Not in any cult kind of way, but in a real way. Father, as we leave here and as we come into this Christmas season, we celebrate your birth, Jesus, and we will see pictures of Mary and artistic renditions. Let us focus on the kind of person she really was. As we leave this building today, let us breathe in your presence, your manifest presence, the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we will thank you, Lord. Amen. We're dismissed.